This is your story. This is my story. But most of all, this is the greatest story ever told. This is God's story.
The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." And he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness.
You know you're old when it takes you a couple tries to get over a speed bump. You know you're old when it takes you longer to rest than it did to get tired. When a 30-year-old mortgage sounds like a pretty clever scam. When your best friend is dating someone half their age and isn't breaking any laws. You know you're old when you discover the meaning of life, but then you forgot to write it down. You know you're old when you often repeat things. You often repeat things. You often repeat things. You know, age has a way of sneaking up on all of us eventually. It can leave you with that sense that the best of your life is behind you. Maybe it's not age for you, but just that sense that you missed out on your chance at life to fulfill your dreams or to do something really meaningful. Well, if that's how you feel, chapter 2 of the story is going to be really good news for you. There's a noticeable pattern with God in the Bible where he picks the person to help him with his plan to get us back, who in the lower story sees themselves as the least qualified person for the job. In chapter 1 of the story, God unveiled his vision. He simply wanted to come down into the lower story, which he created, and be with us. But the first people, Adam and Eve, didn't embrace that vision and as a result were escorted from the garden. A spiritual virus was born in Adam and Eve that creates the option for evil and selfishness in our lives and our relationships with others. This kind of lifestyle has no place in the community of God. We also learned that this spiritual virus, which the Bible simply calls sin, is transmitted to all of Adam's offspring, and that means us. We found in the story of Noah that the plan to get us back into a relationship with God will not come from people, not even from the best of us. So God begins to unveil his plan in chapter 2 to get us back. He's going to create a brand new nation. Why? Through this nation, set apart for his purposes, he will reveal his presence and his power and his plan to get us back. People of all nations who watch this new nation will be able to discover and see what God is up to. So the first order of business is to pick a couple to get this nation started. Now, who would you pick? A young, vibrant, good-looking, healthy, influential couple with a medically proven capacity to crank out lots of children? That's how we think in the lower story. But God thinks differently in the upper story. Later in the story, Isaiah will tell us that his ways are higher than our ways. God selects an old couple named Abram and Sarai. When God first taps them on the shoulder, Abram is 75 and Sarai is 65. They've got their AARP card in hand, discounts at Denny's for the early seating, and collect Social Security checks monthly. In addition to this, in addition to their age, Sarai is barren. She can't have any children. Why does God pick them? He does this so when people see this great nation, they will see not the strength of Abram and Sarai, but their weakness. They will see God as the one above the scenes of their lives building this amazing nation. They will see His presence. They will see His power and His plan unfolding. At the opening of chapter 2, God invites Abram to go and leave the comforts of his homeland to a place that God would show him. And He promised to not only give them children, but to make them into a great nation. Not only this, but this new nation would one day be a blessing to all people on the earth. Abram likely didn't comprehend this completely, but God was saying to him, I'm going to use you and this nation as my plan to provide a way for all people to come back into the garden. The Bible simply says, so Abram went. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are told, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, there's one thing I know about senior citizens. Being the proud possessor of my own AARP card, we don't like change. How many senior citizens does it take to change a light bulb? Change. Who said anything about change? But this older couple dug deep, got way out beyond their comfort zone, and believed in God. This is their only claim to fame. The story doesn't unfold as smoothly as you'd think. The first order of business is to start popping out kids, right? To have a nation, you got to have peoples, at least one. That's logic to us lower story dwellers. Yet 10 years go by and still no children. Abram is now 85 and Sarai 75. So Sarah gets to thinking, maybe God needs our help. That phrase always leads to disaster. She concocts a plan where Abram sleeps with her servant Hagar. Abram, as suspected, puts up no objections. They have a child named Ishmael. God comes to them and says, I will make Ishmael's offspring into a great nation, but this is not my plan. Ishmael is the father of the Arab nation and the foundation of Islam. 13 more years go by and still no child. Abram is now 99 and Sarai 89. God comes to them and changes their names. Abram's name, which ironically means father in Hebrew, is changed to Abraham, which means father of many. Ouch. Sarai's name, which means princess in Hebrew, is changed to Sarah, which means queen. Ouch. Hard names to live up to. Finally, a year later, Sarah has a child who's named Isaac. Isaac means laughter. You'd laugh too if you had a child when you were 100 years old. But the story isn't over. When Isaac is around 15 years old, just about to get his camel's license, God comes to Abraham and asks him to do a crazy, I mean completely crazy thing. Abraham is now 115 and Sarah 105. Optimal years for raising teenagers, wouldn't you say? Here's how it reads. God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. You know, I'm just the average Joe trying to get by in the lower story, but this seems completely insane. But Abraham obeys. We're told in the story, or in Hebrews chapter 11, that Abraham figured that God would raise Isaac from the dead. Now that's faith. As Abraham was bringing the knife down to take the life of his son, an angel, likely Jesus himself, told Abraham to stop, that God has provided a ram whose horns have gotten caught in the thicket. Abraham sacrifices the ram and takes his son home. Whew, that was close. Well, we are told that Isaac gets married to a gal named Rebekah. Now listen to this. They are married 20 years before they have their first child. this nation-building thing is really off to a slow start. But they have twins, Jacob and Esau, and we're told that Jacob has 12 children. Finally, we've got some real momentum. You think you're too old? You think you've missed your chance to do something big, something significant? That's the way we think in the lower story. But if we align our lives to God and what He's up to, some of our best years are still ahead of us. Oh, one more thing you may have noticed. Embedded in this incredible story is a clue of what is to come. In the story, God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Compare this with John chapter 3 and verse 16 of the New Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. See the parallel? But not only that, do you know where the hill of Moriah is? 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us that it is the place that will later become the city of Jerusalem. It is the same hill 2,080 years later that God's one and only son, Jesus, would be offered up as a sacrifice on a cross.